Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
Another great week.
Listen, I promise you, it was a great week for the 53rd week in a row.
But before that, it was pretty good.
No. I'm telling you, this has been a great streak, and it continues right now. Listen, we went to Baldwin, to our friend Ashley's home, for Memorial Day, which was a lot of fun. We stopped by Premium Pete's podcast, which was a lot of fun. We had a lot of stuff this week to do, including recording another podcast that we won't air for another couple weeks, because, as we mentioned on the one-year anniversary episode, we signed a new deal for the podcast with the Full Screen Network, which is, let's say it's like a Netflix competitor where they license TV shows, they license movies, and they also provide original content like our podcast on video.
Right. So, like, they have The Chappelle Show, they have Daria.
Lots of different shit. But they are going to film our episodes like it's Wayne's World. So people should go and sign up for this Full Screen app. I don't know how much it is a month. It's something like $5
There's a free month, though.
Oh, is there? Okay, cool. Yeah. So sign up now, and you're going to be able to see our episodes in the middle of this month. So very soon, you'll see live episodes, which we have never shown to anyone. We've recorded them with some big guests, and we did that this week. And here's the thing. Full Screen came into our apartment, and I think we mentioned that they redesigned it.
Yeah, so, they completely renovated it.
So, well, not completely renovated it. Same refrigerator, same microwave, same cabinets, but otherwise,
They painted the walls,
yes. They gave us a credenza, they gave us a new couch, a new table, a new rug, bookshelves.
Curtains.
Window treatments for the first time in 9 years. I mean, we're really living now. They hung stuff up on the walls, but here's my issue, Jeff. The woman who came in to redesign everything was great, and she did a wonderful job. She's not a professional painter.
No.
So she did, you know, I mean, she lined up the edges. She got the tape all right. She didn't drip on the floor. But there's some spots where she just didn't get. And here's the thing. She told us she was coming back, and this is like a couple weeks ago. She left the paint can. She's like, is it cool if I leave them in the hallway? We said, no problem. You're coming back. You're gonna finish painting these little things which just bother me. She said, no problem. And has she been back?
She has not been back.
So I don't know what to do. Like, is it wrong for us to, like, go get a paintbrush and, like, finish it off? Like, I feel we're talent.
Yes. No,
so, like,
she should be doing it.
I just don't know. Like, do we email her and say, like,
hey, fix your shit?
Yeah, like, you left, like, certain spots undone. There are noticeable places where you should finish painting. I don't know what to do.
I feel like she's my barber.
Okay.
Because, like, as you were explaining it and you were talking about, like, you know, lined up the edges.
Yep.
Everything looks sort of fine.
Yep.
But then if you look at it real close.
Not great. Well, no, but here's.
Except that my thing was, like, real fucked up. So.
Well, no. Here's the difference. Your hair will grow back. The paint's not going to, you know.
The paint won't paint
show
itself.
Up.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what to do. This is a big conundrum.
Do you think we should move?
Probably. Anyway, sign up for the Full Screen app on on iTunes.
See
or
if you can spot all
Google
the,
Play or
the
whatever.
Shitty paint job.
And make sure that you check out these upcoming episodes, because we've been doing double duty, by the way. So, like, we've been recording every week for the audio while also recording for video, because what Full Screen wants to do is bank these episodes.
Right. I mean, we can say two of the guests that we already announced on Instagram.
We have an episode coming up with Miss Info and Angie Martinez on the same episode together, because they're great friends of ours and we had a great conversation amongst friends.
But also, like, they're great friends with each other. They're not just great friends of ours, they're great friends with each other.
Yes, agreed.
I'm glad that we could agree on
we
that.
We all agree on that. Angie, yeah. Minya, me and you, we all agree. We're all friends. That's a great episode coming up. We have some other guests that we have recorded, that we have lined up. It's going to be a really cool thing. Sign up there. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes. See, nothing's going to change audio-wise either. If you subscribe to iTunes, if you subscribe to SoundCloud or Google Play or wherever, the episodes are still going to be there as well. But now you get this visual element, which people have been telling us for a long time they want to see.
Yeah, you can see, you know, Eric and me sitting at our table.
Yeah, but
somebody
now,
else is going to join us
but
at the table.
But guess what? Different table. I like how Full Screen came in here. They're like, are you attached to this IKEA table?
We're like, no.
No. Get rid of it. Get it the fuck out of here. And they did. Shout out to Full Screen.
Just
come and finish the paint job. Just please. This week,
we have Bodega Bams making his return.
Yes. So a year ago?
Exactly a year ago.
We had Bodega Bams on, and the audio wasn't great, but he's back. And it's a fun episode. He talks about a lot of funny stories that we never talked about before. But first, we have Slim and Telly from Fame School. And they got a new song called
Bag.
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 It's moving out here.
Yeah. With a feature from Taxstone.
Where'd you get it again?
We actually got it from Instagram. Telly hit me. He was like, yo, look at Tax's crazy Instagram. So he was on the gun range and he was just like, look at me all up in your shit. Yeah. And he had the gun out and shit. And Telly's like, yo, just grab that. Let's make a beat and let's do something on it. And then involved in the bag.
But we felt like we needed a record. Like, we need a record, man, like that really just like pop out and everybody could just gravitate to it and it's like have a meaning. So it's like, yo, you're doing your thing. You're in your bag. And then we just came up with it. But, you know, due to the fact that Slim be having that the boom bap sound, and we infused the melodies, but with rap content, it just gave it like a whole, like it's something new, I feel like. We look at this whole shit, like even just business, music, entertainment, it's like high school and shit. You know what I mean? It's like we one big family, and it's like, you know, we just, everybody one hand washed the other, that whole theory.
Did you ever fail a class in high school?
Yo, man, I never got passed. I only got like 10 credits. Like, you need like 10 to go to the 10th grade. And it took me like summer school, like the first year and a half to get to 10.
Damn.
And then I don't know, man.
You didn't fail gym, did you?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
How do you fail gym?
Can I tell you,
please.
I tore my ACL and I was all on drugs my senior year, man. I did not want to go. They had me going to special class in the morning.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went upstate Binghamton.
Okay.
So that's where I'm from. And fucking, I did not want to get up in the morning and go to the fucking thing. So I was just like, fuck it. And then I had to do gym summer school my senior year to go to college.
How terrible is that?
It fucking
sucks. was it worse than tearing your ACL?
It was close. It was a close second. I'll tell you that.
Does anybody else do that with you? Or were you the only one who failed and it was just like you and the gym teacher?
Nah, there was some other fucking
niggas don't go to gym. Niggas be like, gym, I pay for with the girl. I'm going to fuck with these bitches. Fuck y'all niggas. Especially me. All my friends play ball. I was smoking weed back then. I was just like, gym, that shit all the way on the 10th floor. Fuck y'all niggas.
See, this is what I don't understand, though. Like, why would you pass on gym and go to, like, another class? I would much rather miss math.
We used to, back in my school, I went to Norman Thomas on 33rd. I was just in there. I only went there to smoke weed, gamble, and hang out in the lunchroom and fuck with girls. So it was just mad bitches in itself. But the thing was, even back before high school, gym was whack. Like when they be like, today we doing soccer. Today it was like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to play basketball with my friends, man. Like, I only went when it was free play. Like, even when they try to, like, basketball, the class, like, man, fuck you. I know how to do a layup. It sucked. Like, it was like, the gym teacher always was a dick.
Wait, I just think that you suck at basketball.
Nah, I'm saying whatever, man. I'm black. I'm ball, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't the greatest. First of all, I'm visually impaired. You know what I'm saying? I'm blind on my right eye, so I can't really got lazy eyes. So, you know, it's hard for me to text, shoot, park cars. Like, I have a disability, so don't make fun of me. I never enjoyed a 3D movie. We went to Epcot Center to see Captain
EO?
EO? EO and Michael Jackson. They the glasses and everybody's reaching at the screen. I'm like, man, fuck y'all.
You just saw like the blue version of him, no, or whatever.
Even with my kids, I go to the 3D. It's like $100,000 a ticket. I can't see. I gotta put the 3D glasses over my glasses just so it looks regular.
Yo, thank God no one can see you in the dark wearing like the two sets of glasses like on top of each other.
Shit is embarrassing. Shit. Shit's crazy, man.
What did your parents do up in Binghamton?
They were in like real estate, fucking other bullshit. You know what I mean? My mom was like a beautician, nothing crazy. Yeah. I was the only music person in my family.
Well, how'd you get into music?
It's crazy. It's like when I tore my ACL, it was like I wanted to get into music, so I got some turntables and I wanted a DJ. And this is a fucking crazy story, but there was no DJ up there that was nice where I could watch and mentor. So I used to tape Def Comedy Jams, the old ones, and I would fucking watch Kid Capri at the end and I would see how he scratched. And I ended up signing to Kid Capri, and then I ended up doing the music on the 07-08 season of Def Comedy Jam with him.
Wait.
Yeah. That's a very like short story.
I know, wait. How did you get there? There.
Yeah. All right, so I ended up meeting, you know, that's crazy. I
didn't even know that story.
I came down here, and as soon as I came down, I actually sold a couple beats to LL Cool J. I went from DJing, I bought a sampler, and then I bought an MP. And I just started making beats and figuring out how to sample and stuff. And then I ended up selling a couple to LL. And that's where I met my current manager, Tiki Diamonds. He was signed to Def Jam. So then I worked with him, and it kind of led me to meeting Kid's manager. And then Kid just took a liking to me, and I just started producing with him. And then I was in a rock band called Uninvited Guests. We signed to Kid Capri, and then we went on tour with DMX and Rakim and all kinds of crazy.
This is a lot. Yeah. This is is still a short story.
I'm trying to cram it all in there like a small space.
No, I thought he just magically was hot.
No,
dudes,
man. No, he's like, yeah, so I came down, and then here I am, and it's just like, oh, right. And the LL Cool J and the DMX.
Yeah. Which one are y'all going to play Slim in the movie?
By the way, how crazy is it in like 2016? What year did you sell the beats to LL?
1988.
Nah. It's 2002.
Okay, but yep. Still, like, yep. You know, like to sample things on an MP back then, like, yeah. And now you're going on Instagram and you're getting like tax right it's then. Crazy. It's like easy to loop and just like, you know.
It's nuts, man. Because even
did
back
you make
then,
Sharks fin?
What's that?
Did you make that record Sharks fin?
Nah, it was like back then, even like that was the first experience I had. And it was like you would get. They would cut the first half, even though I didn't get my first half because I got robbed. But I was so young, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was just happy to be in Def Jam. I'm in the halls. I'm seeing, like, Foxy Brown and fucking Jay-Z, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm happy. So then you would go to Quad, and you would dump the shit on a fucking 16-track,
yeah,
you know, from the MPC, and it was like a whole different experience. Now it's like they 2-track your shit, they put on the radio, and it's like, do we want to pay them?
All they use those boards for is just to put your computer on. Yeah, like exactly. Now, it's just like...
Remember the ADAT?
Hell oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember when you had to keep saying the hook over and over? Oh,
so you situate yourself down here. Were you yep. always living in Brooklyn?
Yeah. I originally lived in Sheepshead Bay when I was in the rock band. And then the rock band broke up in the middle of the tour when we were on DMX, I think, in L.A. We just got a huge fight. And this is another fucking crazy story, man.
You broke up in the middle of the tour?
Yeah, yeah. It was nuts. It was just...
Oh, Kelly.
Yeah, I know, nah, yeah.
We were fucking ragers, man. It was like it was on some punk rock and hip hop shit. So we were kind of like Beastie Boys and Ramones mixed together.
Whoa.
So it was like, but we were just like raging, man, all the time. And it was just, we weren't in a good headspace. And it was like, Kid tried to put us back together because people loved us. You know what I mean? It was like an energy we had. And he tried to put it together, but it was like, we went to Sylvia's one day and he's like, we're going to have a sit down, you and your partner. And we're sitting there and my partner's all quiet and he goes, he stands up, he goes, you don't know shit about music? He points at me and he goes, and you don't know shit to Kid. Kid got up off the table in the middle of Sylvia's and went to grab him and he slipped out of his hands. He ran out the thing.
Yo, like,
shut the fuck up. I swear
to God. End of the group.
End yeah. of the group. And I was just pleased after that because I knew we weren't going to make it. You know what I mean? Like, me and him didn't have that bond.
Yeah.
You know I mean? We have a bond. We know what's up.
That's yeah. fucking, I think it was on drugs.
Crazy drugs. Telly, where are you from?
Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights, you know what I'm saying? I grew up.
So you are really Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Before any gentrification, yeah. You're like yeah. really Brooklyn.
Where do you
like
play shuffleboard 30, now? Like, I know.
Well, you know, I do my Bikram yoga in Bushwick, a nice studio in Bushwick.
Do you still live in Brooklyn now?
Yeah, I'm like, I live in Midtown.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, I live in Midtown, you know, so, you know, because I've spent a lot of time before I lived in Midtown, I was living in that Lower East Side.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I was downtown for like 5 years. And then move Midtown. But I'm always back and forth from Brooklyn because, you know, I got kids. And
right,
family,
right,
so
yeah.
I just, like, we I make a joke about it. We make this shit feel like a small town because, like, we move around it so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's big, but it's like.
So where does music enter your life?
Oh, shit, man. I used to play drums in the church. So that I, like, already, like, was, like, had a rhythm sense because I used to play drums in the church. So I used to go to church. My whole family, my grandfather was a preacher, so my whole family was a church thing. And then. No, I still, you know, it's like you, every Brooklyn nigga know any party ghetto. It's like you got to go to church,
right?
But then you outside, right. Whatever, change your clothes, bring your clothes, and go outside. So it was just music came from church.
First of all, how God fearing were you?
I didn't really understand what that shit was about. I used to just, this sermon started, I'd sneak downstairs, go hang out with my cousins. Like, I just was there because I had to go. You know what I mean? I respect God, you know? There's many guys.
And you were like, if I'm going to be there, I guess I'll just set up behind the drum set.
In retrospect, it was a family thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was always addicted to, like, music, man. My mom's and I bought my first Walkman. I forget, I was like 6 or some shit like 7. I don't know how old I was. They bought me a Walkman. No, even before the Walkman, my uncle... He was like he was to run around with the low lives, he was a street nigga. So he had the Slick Rick Children's Story tape.
Yo.
So then I stole it from him. Like he like left it and I just hit it and I learned the whole shit. Like I learned the whole shit and it was just like, it was the dopest shit I ever. It was like it's a nigga's telling a story. He had a patch on his eye with chain. I was like, what the fuck? So I had school, run home, watch Video Music Box with him. And then it was just like, then my mom bought me the Walkman. When she bought the Walkman, I wanted for Christmas, they bought me. It was a Round the Way Girl, and it was
a lot of LL talk.
It was, yeah, yeah. Yo, the thing was that was a fire record.
Yeah,
Round the Way Girl, and it was a N.W.A. Straight Out of Compton.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that the shit was like curses. So I'm running around and Straight Out of Compton, and they was like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "You bought it for me." And then after that, it's just, nigga, always just like, I don't know, just good with words, man. I just always had to, like, with between the rhythm with the drums, shit, and then it just embedded me in it. I always was rapping for my whole life. Like, as far as I can remember, always just rapping. But then, you know, shit, MASH, I think I ran through every genre at this point.
Was Ninja Sonic your first, like, group?
Nah, we had this thing called Get Right Entertainment. I've been rapping forever, bro. But then we had this thing. I was signing some niggas in Queens when I was younger. Then we had this shit called...
was it LL Cool J?
I wish.
Where in Queens?
Yeah.
It was on Suffolk. It was called like OIG. It was some crazy shit. It was called my man, he's like, yo, come and meet these niggas from Queens. And they just had like a studio back then. It was like before niggas had that shit. And it was like Shorty Nice. So they signed me to some shit. I just signed the paper. I had no lawyer. It was OIG, I think the name of the shit was. And I was running around with them for a while. And that's why I really honed my skills. And then me and my cousin, we built a studio in an apartment. And then we started Get Right. And that was when MySpace was popping.
Yeah. And, yo, who was in your top 8?
Yo, niggas would get, like, that top 8 shit. I had to have a top 20 to be like, yo, all y'all niggas my friends. And then it was always rap, but I started listening to Gym Class Heroes a lot. And then I remixed On My Own Time. I made the nigga make a space for me to rap in the beginning and the end. And I would go to Gym Class Heroes shows and give out the CD. And then I ran into Travi, and he was like, oh, I love this song. Did you just let me hear this already? Nigga just gave me his math then, and we just was hanging out from then. And then that's when I just started opening up my mind, and me and Jaja hooked up, and then we did that Ninja Sonic shit, and that just changed everything, man. Ninja Sonic just changed, like, the whole... It was back then, it was niggas was wearing tight pants. We was gay. We wore
right,
tight pants.
Right.
It was hard, you know right. what I mean? To even be, like, tight pants wearing nigga in dive bars with all white people. Then the niggas, like, you got niggas saying, white people saying nigga, and then it was just... Yo, boy, we persevered. Now it's cool to be yourself. That's the whole thing was fighting to be yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So we fought really, really hard. Like, just we never gave a fuck about it. We just wanted to make good music and have fun. I had no concern of what was going on. And then that's when I met Slim. Cause Slim was in Ferrari Snowden at the time. I remember we had a party at the nigga Paulie Shore crib in LA. This is a good story. We had a party at the nigga Paulie Shore crib in LA. Jaja and my man Fritz from upstate. We was all at the nigga's crib, like mansion party, whatever. Yo, the nigga, like, we destroyed that crib. Everybody was on Molly, fucked the crib up. We didn't even sleep. We ended up going to the nigga Kevin Rudolph's house.
With the Cash Money guitarist, yeah.
So we went in there, and I'm like, wasted. I bought 2 bottles of Moet, spilling the shit, because he was in his room, spilling shit, all drunk, drugs everywhere. And we started a concept. But then when we left, I'm like, man, fuck this nigga. I'm keeping this shit for myself. So I think we had a... did it with a mutual friend of me and Slim's.
Okay.
And then I was away. The nigga was like, yo, I got these kids that yo, I want to get them on the record. They're dope. And I'm like, all right, cool. We'll talk about it when I get back. He said, no, they already on it. I'm like, you putting niggas on my fucking soul on my mission. But then I come back and hear it. It was fire. Slim rap. He was a rap. He do so. He blew my mind back then, pause, because he was rapping and he was doing the beats. I was just like, what the fuck? In the studio, the booth wasn't like right next door. Like, he would have to get up, go all the way outside and around, and then record. And then
but what was Paulie Shore doing?
I don't even know if the nigga was there. It was in his fucking house. Like, it was just like, it was like Paulie Shore's house. And Jaja broke a nigga bed in there. We about to start the set. I can't find him. He comes flying off the two-floor shit, like a balcony, with like the grass shit that come down.
Vines.
He flies off the shit, thinking he climbed down, falls. Dude, that nigga, man, it was crazy.
What?
That was a crazy fucking night.
Kind of like jackass, like, you know, stunts. Yo, are these?
I feel right like here. Every Jaja, man, podcast episode should include the line, so we were at Paulie Shore's house. Party.
The shit was nuts. Some cowboys almost washed us up.
What? Cowboys? Just, like Dallas Cowboys?
No,
or like
niggas in boots and hats. Big hats.
With horses and spurs.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just, that's the funny shit about Ninja Sonic, like, that time. It would be like a fucking group of cowboys, some niggas, some bloods, a lawyer, some white kids, some fucking punk. It was like, it would be like a, what the, it's like the where the Foot Clan used to hang out, man. That shit was crazy, man. But then, see, all that shit bring us here, man. Now, when Slim jumped on the record and shit, you know what I mean? I was like, this kid dope. When I met him, it was like, oh, this nigga cool. So after that, it just was like, we just been like, when we was in a process where we were trying to figure out the sound, we just started making music that was, because he was producing for us then. Mm-hmm. So, but then we started evolving into a new sound. So it was like, yo, man, it's Fame School, man. Niggas come here to get famous. So then, like, we just really ran with that shit.
Yeah, we first met you guys at A-Track's old place, which is now his brother Dave's place in Williamsburg, for the Fool's Gold Christmas party. Yeah. You guys are down with Fool's Gold. How did that all come to be?
We was at the Woody's about, I don't know how many years ago.
No pause for Woody's?
I know.
That's the name of them shits.
I know.
Yo, so they had like
Austin.
Nah, it wasn't even Austin yet. It was in New York.
Oh, really?
So A-Track was always, he was always awesome. Like, he always been a nice guy. So mm-hmm. I would see him like in London, here and there, whatever. And then, like, cause me and Theophilus, we like, that's my brother back then. We run around and he would be with A-Track a lot. So I would see him in the mix. But at the Woody's, bro, I think I was really wasted because they had like, they was bringing the liquor to the tables and they had a keg at the end of it. And me being like, cause you know, we came up under Spank Rock, we just was wild. And you know, he fucked up a Woody's one year. So I'm like, that's what you do at the Woody's. So, boy, I dead ass at the Woody's. At the Woody's, we was leaving. I'm like, probably too drunk. I'm like grabbing a
probably
like, yo, talking to A like, yo, oh. And then Dave is like, yo, what's up with you? Like, yo, me up. I'm like, hey, nigga, you crazy. You know who I am. So. And then my nigga Watts, he's like, yo, chill, Dave. Everybody chill. And then, you know, it's like, and then like, that's how me and Dave met.
Yeah.
This Dave, like the smooth nigga with the glasses, ADB told like, yo, grab me. I'm like,
yeah.
So, boom. So, then that was that. So then,
that's how Montreal does, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't hit me up real quick.
But then, briefly after that, man, we see each other. I'm like, oh, no, my bad. Oh, no, my bad. And it was cool. And then we just always been cool, man. A always been like just a good guy, man. Just always just pure love. And then, you know, right around the start, when we first started Fame School, we thought we had the answer. We like, yo, we just the biggest records in the world. So we took meetings, and Nick was like, I don't know about this. Yeah, yeah. He's like, the sound is a little big, different, but it's like, so he's like, yo, but your branding is great. So we focused on that, and you know, they just was always there to guide us.
They were the first
just,
person we went to
yeah.
when we had our project, and Nick gave us tons of great advice.
Yeah.
We took and ran with it, and we was just like, all right, let's apply this, and we ended up coming back full circle, which is crazy.
That's yeah, really
and
dope.
And then the HR, he's like, yo, come on, I want you to come Hype Man for me on the Going Wild tour. Slim came out a few days, and we just, you know, and then we were playing records, and he'd be like, Hey, I'm telling you, man. Hey, he's a machine. And he's like, he's looking at it like, he'll play records in the car, and he'd be like, whatever, like, he's talk or whatever, but then it's like we put on Money Machine and say, what's that? I like that. Then even his new record, I was like, I sent him records and he go, no, what's this? It's bad. I sent him a record with McConey, like, that's cool, put this bag record. Bag record's anthem, we're putting this out.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and then you know us, we're independent in our own right, and we always like to, like, I don't want to say rush, but we always want to do things like, no, let's do this. So now it's like, for once, we just really was like, listen, man, we're going to do this shit right. You know what I'm saying? We got this music, we're going perfect the music, mm-hmm. like get all the tape and all the music sounding how we want to sound and brand ourselves, and then we're gonna let the single get its time to breathe and grow.
Yeah,
and you know, for once we really like, you know, with us and Fool's Gold, A-Track and our whole Fool's Gold team, it's just been real, it's dope, man. And really just like, cause it's like a system, it's like a family, and everything we do, we all do like everybody, all the moving pieces like a clock, all the moving pieces
yeah.
that's involved make it what it is. So it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, I feel like we're going through a similar thing, like where we've always been independent, you know, like we've never had to work for anybody else, and now we have this team around us, and it's like very weird to sort of
delegate, yeah, and like trust and
yeah, yeah. like be like, oh, yeah. like, you can do this instead of just us doing this, and I feel like that's what you guys are doing now, where it's yeah. just like, you
yeah,
know?
So
and like, you know, Fool's Gold is such a good team, so I'm happy that you guys are like linking up with them like officially.
So here's what we're gonna do. We got to have you guys back again for a full, like, longer thing. Sure. But we do want to mention, Bag is out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You guys are shooting the video for that yes. out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys got some other things happening with the song coming soon. Yeah. And the project drops in
July.
Yeah. Okay.
Give or take. But yeah, we're aiming for July, but we really want to just, like, the thing is we just want to do things right and kill it.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to get Bag's room to have fun. We're going to the visuals and the whole, because it's not just a song. We feel like it's like when you're doing your thing, you in your bag, bringing that energy, like to the, not even just the city, the whole world.
Thanks to Slim and Telly from Fame School for coming through. Go check out that new video for Bag coming up. Jeff, we have some questions that you wanted to take from the listeners. What do we got?
All right, this one comes in from OB1490 on Twitter, who says, "What are some of your favorite non-hip-hop podcasts?"
I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but one of the new ones that I really, really like is on Bill Simmons' new network called Keeping It 1600, which is by Jon Favreau, not the director, but actually one of the former speechwriters for Barack Obama. And I really, really like it a lot. And I think there's a lot of stuff that they can cover going into this election. I really fuck with that. I like Bill Simmons overall. Anything The Ringer is doing, I support. And also, of course, I listen to Marc Maron. What about you?
Okay, so I do not listen to a lot of podcasts. I feel like I've made that well known before, but maybe not. But I've listened to a few episodes of Surprisingly Awesome on the Gimlet Network. They take a topic like concrete, and they'll go through it, and it sounds boring, but then they'll find these interesting facts about it, and they'll say, okay, so maybe it's awesome.
Or maybe it's not.
Right. And if it's not awesome, then they will cut it short.
What else do we got?
All right. This next question comes in from Life with Derek on Twitter also, who says, favorite album and mixtape for both of you?
Man, look, there's a lot of projects that came out this year. I can't honestly think of all of them. I like the Drake one. I like the Kanye one. Call me boring, but whatever. I like those. What about you?
I liked the Young Thug Slime Season 3 a lot. I liked French Montana's Wave Gods. That was amazing to me. I really like Chance the Rapper. All right, this last question comes in from Cool Story Lou, Geez Louise on Twitter, who says, favorite spot to grab something to eat in the hood?
Okay, we're going to assume that the hood is our hood, which would be the Upper West Side, South Harlem.
Yeah.
So where would your favorite place to eat around here be, Jeff?
There's not a lot of great restaurants on the Upper West Side.
I mean, I disagree with that.
You think so?
I do think so. I think there's a lot of great places. We may not go to them, but I think there's probably a lot of great places.
I like getting my Chinese food from Malaysia Grill. I like going to Jacob's Pickles, which is like a southern comfort food spot on like 83rd. I don't like going to the vegan, gluten-free, kosher pizza place.
You that's don't like corner. Going there?
I mean, it's fine. It's not real pizza,
You go
though.
There a lot for not liking the place.
It's right across the street.
You go there a lot for a place right across the street.
It's right there. I'm lazy. I'll happily
There's
own that.
The answer. There's the answer. All right. When do you want to get into this Bodega Bams?
How about right now?
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Communion Wafer, a.k.a. God Body.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Get These Hands, a.k.a. Hammurabi Code.
Hey, yo, what up? It's that dude that want that spot. Young Don Francisco, Poppy, Bodega Big.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but it's real. Yo, this is the return of Bodega Bam.
Yeah. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Remember, a year ago.
Exactly a year ago.
A year ago, we had Bams on, and we were just getting started, like literally and figuratively, because the audio was not great at that point. But now things have changed. We understand how to
We have a new apartment, which is the same apartment.
That's right.
But it looks different.
It looks nicer. As Bam said, it's much more cozy.
Word up.
And now we know how to use the volume controls and make it sound good. So
man.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Since the last time we saw you, you got this new project.
Yes. All Eyes Off Me.
That's right. Which is fire, by the way.
Thank you.
Inspired by Tupac.
Yeah.
Whack Rappers.
Fuck with it.
Yeah, I love that track.
Dope.
Scarface.
Fuck with it.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big record for the summer, bro.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that's going to be a big record for the summer, man. You know, we're doing some things right now. You know what I'm saying? But that shit's going to be a big record, man.
Good.
How did the whole thing come together? Because, like, about a month and a half ago, I think you did the No Jumper podcast. And you were like, yeah, I don't really have, like, anything really lined up.
Yo, it's crazy story. So when I did the No Jumper, shout out to them.
Shout out to Adam.
Yeah.
At the time, I had no idea when I was going to drop it, right? So I already had the name, I had the cover, I had the records already. They weren't mastered yet, but I had everything done. And I went to go stay with my man that lives in LA. His name is Youth Is Dead. He's an amazingly talented kid. Like, he's been signed to Universal. He works for the OVO. He's just been around. You know what I'm saying? He's an amazingly talented kid. And this guy's been, I knew him since he was like 15 years old. You know what I'm saying? So when he used to live on the East Side, Spanish Harlem. And his father's a huge fashion dude. His father used to run rugby. His father runs Ralph Lauren with him. He's like a VP in Ralph Lauren. This guy, he's just always in the fashion and music shit.
He's from the cloth.
Yeah. He's definitely like, a lot of motherfuckers got their style for my boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and niggas know. But
now they know.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He told me when I was staying in his crib in LA and shit like that, and we listened to the records, and he just told me, like, because he's like my spirit guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga's like me and him, and like, he's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, yo? What are you waiting for? That's exactly how he told me. Like, what are you waiting for, yo? He's like, yo, Bams, just, and this was in, when I was in LA? April. He was like, yo, drop this shit in June, bro. Drop this shit the first week of June, yo. And I was like, you know what? You fucking right, man. Me and Ola looked at each other like, yo, this nigga right, yo. Because we had all the components, you know what I'm saying?
What were you waiting for?
I don't know. That's the whole thing. Like, yo, you know what's crazy? Like, the way I came in this shit, right, it was almost like, I'm not going to say I was too cool, but I was so obsessed with quality over quantity. Mm. So I didn't want to, I didn't want to just flood the market with mad music. I wanted to be that dude that was like, yo, I can't really find nothing about Bodega Bands, and the shit that's out there is fire. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, man, like, it got me where I'm at now, but in order for me to progress and get more fans, I have to be flooding motherfuckers, and I have right. to get more music out.
So between April and when you dropped it, what'd you have to get done besides the mastering?
A few little things moved around. Like I put a few new records on there and shit like that. Shot wild videos. Like I shot like 5 videos as soon as I came back from LA to New York. Shot like 5 videos. But that was really it, man. And then having to choose which cover I want, and then making a plan also that, you know, this is a first part of a trilogy. So I'm dropping 3 projects. I don't like to call them mixtapes, yeah. projects and records. That's
movies.
What I like to call them.
Yeah.
I'm dropping 3 before the year's over. So I'm going to drop another one in September, and I'm probably drop another one in December. And I already have the name for the next one. I have the cover for the next one. Like it should have been like I said, like, but it took me that trip. Yo, that trip to L.A. just changed my whole way, like, just how. Like I'm on my animal shit. I want that spot. That's the campaign.
And I love how you went from like in April not even knowing like when anything was gonna drop. Now you got 3 things.
Yeah, man. And all it took was a conversation with somebody that I speak highly of. I think the world of him, and that's all. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what really friends is for, man. You know what I mean? I'm so consumed with working that I'm not gonna really sit down and get dates and calendars, because I just want to create. You know what I'm saying? But then when you have friends that make it easier, like, you know what I'm saying? Shit, that's how shit. It all comes into order. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's one of those dudes. It's like, yo, Bands, what the fuck you doing? He light that fire under my ass. Pause. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But
we're here now.
Yeah,
we're here now, man.
I feel like you're sitting on a lot of records, aren't you?
Yeah, man. I got a shitload, and I got so much fire. Like it's not like when the next project drop, it's gonna be better than the last, and when the final one drop, it's gonna be better than the last two. Like that's how I am. So even though, like I said, in the beginning, I was obsessed with the whole quality over quantity, but now I'm gonna give niggas quality, and it's all gonna be quality. Cause a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers drop mad shit, and just shit just start declining, and it just start getting, cause people get lazy. It's like, right. I'm just gonna throw this Lucy out, I'm just gonna throw this little artwork out. But me, now I'm very meticulous, I'm very like, I master everything. Like, I make sure that everything I drop is gonna look good, and it's gonna look better than the past. And
like, no disrespect to your prior projects, but I feel like, especially, I don't know how far back, but let's say like the start of 2016, the artwork.
Yeah, the artwork is crazy.
Has stepped up like
thank you.
Exponentially.
You know what's crazy? Everybody been saying that, man. That's I'm happy, man. But yo, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I also like, I'm a consumer, you know what I'm saying? So I did as be seeing what other artists, what their artwork be looking like, and their videos be looking like, and a lot of niggas be having trash, you know what I'm saying? So that should be like inspiring me. Like, fuck that, I'm gonna do it like this. So the artwork that I've been doing now is like, you know, it's like cubism. That's what it is. It's called cubism. So this is crazy story. The dude that does my artwork, he lives in a country that I can't even pronounce. And he hit me up one day.
America.
Some shit like Bosnia. It's like, but it's not Bosnia, because that's too easy. It's so he actually Google mapped his country, and he sent it to me in Facebook message, like, this is where I'm from. Word, like, it's 1,500 people living in there, like, really, like, off the map, right? So he hit me up one day, yo, like, yo, Bodega Bams, and he doesn't speak English, so obviously he's using Google Translate.
Right.
And he's like, yo, Bams, like, let's do artwork, this and that. And I was like, all right, man, let's do it. So he started sending me shit, and believe it or not, the artwork that I'm using now, he sent me like a few months before, but I wasn't really into it. Because I was like, I really don't, how people gonna really perceive this shit of me, you know what I'm saying? But I said, you know what, man, let me take a risk. And I started bombing that shit. Every time I dropped a record, I started bombing them motherfuckers with the new artwork, and niggas been loving that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very artsy, but it's not artsy like trying to be like that gangster that goes to the museum. It's some real creative artsy shit.
You know what I'm saying? Fire, but here's the question. For future people who want to get in touch with you, and they reach out and they're like, well, he used some guy in a country that he doesn't even know, like, does that mean that you're going to listen to someone's record, that you're going to take someone's artwork, that you're going to like trust whoever reaches out through whatever social
media? Nah, hell no. He came at the right time, yo. Like, he came at the right time, and it was just one of the pieces he sent me. It just stuck to me. I was like, wow, this is fire. And then that's how we started building up a relationship. And he kept on sending me more shit. Like, he was sending me a lot of things before it really stuck. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I get those fucking messages all the time, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't really.
I listen to every mixtape. I sign every artist.
Yo, I try to listen to as much shit niggas send me. Like the other day, some girl Facebook messaged me to say a little voice memo for her boyfriend, his birthday. Like, I be doing a lot of the Good Samaritan shit.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying? I'm a guy's
karmically,
guy.
It's going to come back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just like to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to do, like, for example, when I dropped All Eyes Off Me, I sent it to everybody who bought my merch first.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? So they had the private link in their email. I said, yo, check your email. So every hundreds of people who bought my shit, they all got that shit first. I just love giving back to the fans in some way. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they mean a lot.
Yeah, totally. So L.A., how much time do you spend out there now?
Oh, now, well, I'm going back in July. So when I went to L.A. in April, because I was coming off a little West Coast run,
mm-hmm.
and the last show was in L.A. and shit like that,
yeah.
and I stood out there for, like, I think it was, like, 16 days. And prior to that, I've never stood in L.A. that long because I've always doing a show on tour and then leaving the next day. I've never really stood out there for, like, 2 weeks, and that shit was just amazing, amazing time, like... Like, seeing people, like, they fuck with me and they want to see me out there. Because, you know, I'm a New York nigga, so that energy already, they're already drawn to that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is just, like, when I walk in the room, they already know, oh, that's Bodega Benzi from New York. And it's just, like, eyes wide open. So, it's so much motherfucking money in L.A. too, man.
Yeah.
So I feel like everybody in L.A.,
like, the energy that New Yorkers bring, like, they're never quite sure what to do with it because everybody in LA, like, they wake up so much later and yeah. they're just so much lazier.
Yo, and yeah, and that's true. And it's like, that's probably Ola.
Yeah.
And it's like, the energy in LA is way better, yo. Like, it's just the energy in LA is so better than New York. Like, New York is so fucking, like, it's like a crab in a barrel in New York, man.
Could with you make everything. That move?
Hell yeah, I could. The only reason why I haven't made it sooner is because I got a kid.
Right.
And he's 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? So I need to be around for him at this young of an age. You know what I'm saying? But if I had a son that was like 10, I would have been out there. Or if I had no kids at all, I would have been out there.
So are you saying right now, when your child turns 10?
Yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm sorry, man. I'm out of here.
He can stay here, but whatever.
Yeah, because around that time, he could take a plane by himself. Sure. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm out of here, yo. New York, oh, man, forget about it. New York is crazy.
Yo,
man.
Talk about New York in the summertime. Like, just like... what that weather can do to you.
Oh, man. I be telling people in L.A., like, summers in New York are the worst. The same way winters in New York are the worst.
It's always the worst out here.
Yeah.
Yo, what up?
What up?
Everything's good. How are you?
Should I
close it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Young Ola in the building just stepped in. What's up, G? How you doing? You all right?
When's the last time you guys saw each other? 6 years ago.
Yeah.
No, but New York summers are the worst. New York winters are the worst.
Amazingly bad, man. Amazingly fucking bad, man. These tall buildings don't do nothing for us. They block the wind, so there's nothing but humid. You know what I'm saying? We're so low to the ground in New York because niggas done hundreds of years done digged and dig down. All niggas do is dig down in New York, man. They never dig up, yo. Fuck that, man.
But meanwhile, if you walk around like Fairfax in L.A., right? Like you go to like... like, there's a breakfast burrito spot that we love called Kofax, which is right across from, like, the Supreme store or whatever. You go there, there's no building that's taller than two stories.
Yeah.
So there's also no shade there, you know? Like, at least, like, here, sometimes you can walk, like, in the shade and don't have to deal with the sun. But out there,
yeah, but killer. It's,
and look at us. We're so pale. Like, you know, the sun is just killing us.
Yeah, I guess it's different for y'all, man, because I'm a Caribbean brother, you know what I'm saying? So, but, yo, like, nah, yo, the wind is, like, everything, the breeze is just totally different, man, in California than over here. For some reason, like I said, like, obviously, you know, they're hot over there. They might get the 103, 104 more than us. But when we get 104 here, that shit feel like hell.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I'm saying? Like, same way when we get the 20 below degrees over here, it feels like we're dying.
Do you hang out there with, like, people who are L.A. natives or, like, New York transplants?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both, yeah. So yeah, both of them, you know what I mean? And what's fire is that the niggas that are the New York transplants, they act like they from L.A. already, you know what I'm saying? So they fit right in. They be knowing more shit about niggas that live in L.A. than, you know what I'm saying, the niggas that come over there, you know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. But both of them. I got some L.A. homies that been there all their life, and I got some New York niggas that was tired of New York like me and they went over there.
You just did a show with, I mean, you opened for DMX.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yo. And, like, I'm sure that you just grew up on him, like...
That's my favorite rapper.
Did you get to meet him?
Nah, man. That was sad shit, man. So first and foremost, that's my favorite rapper, right? Like, that's... When people ask me, like, yo, Benz, who's your, like, inspiration? Like, DMX is, like, the nigga I've drawn most my inspiration from.
Yeah.
As far as rap goes. So when I was in L.A., I know the owner of the observatory in Santa Ana.
Mm-hmm.
So he had called my homie, like, yo, we got DMS coming. my homie's a DJ. He's like, "Yo, you want DJ and do you want Bams to be direct support?" I was like, "Hell yeah." And he was like, "Yo, I'm gonna pay you too." I'm like, "Oh, fuck that." At first I was kind of nervous because this is DMX number one, right? And then I know what kind of crowd DMX has, you know what I'm saying? So people don't realize, like, I can only speak for myself, I get nervous before every show, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta make sure that shit is right. I gotta make sure what the crowd is. So automatically I'm like, "Oh, this is gonna be a shitty show, you know what I'm saying? Nobody gonna give a fuck about me. They probably gonna boo me." So that Ola was like, "Yo man, like, this is DMX though, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even to be on some like negative shit, but what about this man dies? You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanna be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanna be, God forbid, if he passes away, to be like, "Yo, like, at least I got to share the stage with DMX before he passed."
Yeah.
So that shit just motivated me. I was like, "You know, we're gonna do that shit." So we went to do it in the observatory. It was amazing. When he came in, like the whole fucking, the whole room just stopped, bro. Like, it, this shit was just like, "Yo, this is crazy." And he came right in with a whole bunch of bodyguards and his manager, and they walked right upstairs. And we just looking, I'm looking at all, right? So I'm mad high, I'm mad drunk. I performed. I had the whole Army Fatigue shit on. Like, I knew how to come at it, you know what I'm saying? Because he's from Yonkers, he's from New York.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, I was on the stage, and he was about to get on. And when he was about to get on, they were clearing the stage. I'm like, "Hey, everybody get the fuck off the stage." So I had to move. And then I tried to exit the stage in the area that he was at, and his manager stopped me, and he, like, put his hand on me. And I ain't like that. So I told his manager, like, "Yo, man, you ain't got to put your hand on me, bro. Like, you could just tell me to move." Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he literally, like, "Where you going, yo? Don't go over here." I'm like, "Yo," like, and I, so then that shit just threw me off. You know what I'm saying? So I had to tell homie, like, "Yo, listen, man, why you doing that?" And he was apologetic, and that was that. And it wasn't nothing after that. And then I left. He performed. I didn't get to see him perform because I was behind the scenes, and we couldn't see nothing because I couldn't get on stage. So then we tried to go around to the fans, to the area where the fans was at. We seen him do stop, drop, open, all that shit.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then the whole night I was in awe. So when I went back to the backstage, I'm asking his manager, asking, like, "Yo, I gotta meet the dog. Yo, yeah. I gotta meet the dog. Please, I gotta meet the dog." You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Yo, what's your name?" I said, "Bodega Ben." He's like, "Yeah, the dog see you perform. He said you killed it. I said, "Yo, bro, I gotta meet him, bro. I gotta meet him." Mind you, I was mad high and drunk. So then I literally was waiting downstairs for like 40 minutes like a groupie, yo.
Damn.
And then I had to realize, like, "Yo, hold up, man. I'm fucking Bodega Bands. Yeah, like, right. What the fuck am I doing here?" Because it was a fan. I was the fan at that point. But then I'm realizing, yo, I'm looking around at the other people that's waiting for him.
And they're like actual fans.
And they're like actual fans. Like, I'm like, hell no, I'm out of here. Yeah. So then I left. And then the next day we had a show in the Nokia Theater.
In L.A.
And at this time I didn't even attempt to try to meet him. Because they already put me through so much shit. I asked his bodyguard to meet him. I asked his manager. I asked his stylist. I was asking everybody. Everybody was curving me. But I understood because, you know, he deals with a lot of shit.
Of course.
He probably doesn't want, you know.
Wait, DMX?
Yeah. No, <okay. laughs> they probably thought that I was, obviously they probably wasn't too familiar with me. So they probably thought I was going to be some fanatic that was probably going to pass some drugs.
No, but you know what though? Like, you're of the right mindset there where you're just like, nah, like, second night, like, I shouldn't even try.
I didn't even try,
like,
yeah. Second night. Yeah, I didn't even try.
If you sign up for the meet and greet package, you pay like $1,000, then you can do it.
Yeah.
Shake his hand, yeah, take a picture.
Yeah, I don't want to do all that, man. These are the perks of being a rapper. You can meet other rappers, man.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And what does Drake say? He's like, "Don't talk to me like, you know, I'm the same guy from like 6 years ago or whatever that is.
Don't talk to me like I'm the same."
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Don't. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, hell no.
Don't talk to me like I'm Bodega Bands from last night.
That's right, yeah.
So when I went to Nokia Theater, man, I didn't even attempt. Did my show, and it was actually better than the Observatory.
That's dope.
And we just got the fuck out of there. I think they were actually thinking that we were going to do the same thing. Like, his dressing room was right there. They probably thought I was going to knock on the door. I kept it moving.
Have you ever met any of the other Rough Riders?
Yeah, I met a long time ago. I met D'Envoi.
Dope.
About like 12, 13 years ago, before he had the one of the who's the one that had the bike accident. Nah, D'Envoi.
Yeah, one of them got into
Before he had the bike accident.
Yep.
Because that show almost took his life. I remember that was a big thing in New York.
It was one of the
Ducatis.
It was the three wheel.
Yeah. He almost died.
Yeah.
I met him. I met Dragon in the McDonald's one day in 158 in Broadway. I didn't even want to say hi to him because I felt like this is drag going to McDonald's, man. Like I didn't want him
down bottom.
I want to remember drag on for what drag on was, not being a McDonald's or a number one.
Right. But if you see him the second night, then he definitely would have been open to seeing you.
If I would have seen drag on in the bodega again, and Lucy, then we could have chopped it up. But the fact he's in McDonald's, I'm like, yo, this guy's doing bad, man. For some reason,
you were like, why is this guy waiting in line?
He's fucking drag on. Why the fuck is he waiting for a high C orange, man? Nah, you gotta get it delivered to him, man.
No. We had Jin the MC up here.
We did.
I met Jin.
Yeah.
I met Jin and y'all shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I ran up on him and said, yo, amazing, bro. Like,
that was a moment, though. Yeah, like, when he was running 106 in Park, like, every week.
That was crazy.
It was.
That was fucking crazy. Yeah, he was an amazing talent, man. When I met him at the shit, he was super humble, super down to earth. Yeah,
also, man. Jadakiss, like, one of the nicest guys ever. Like,
met Jada.
Yep.
I met Styles.
Dope.
Met Sheik.
Dope.
Jada told me one time, like, yo, keep doing your thing. I met them one time briefly.
We went to the Bad Boy reunion show.
How was it?
Amazing.
Oh, you know, Puffy's like my, besides DMX, he's my favorite artist of all time.
Oh my God.
Oh, Daddy, I love him.
Have you ever met him?
Nah, but he walked right by me one day. I was in, before I was on my rap shit, I used to be an interviewer.
Yeah.
So my man had a DVD. He was a street nigga. He had a DVD, and he set up an interview for me to interview Mano. And we was in front of the Atlantic building right by Mano's Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm interviewing Mano, and this is around the time where he's having problems with Puffy and Lil' Kim and all that. And we literally start talking about Puff, and Puff pulls up in a Rolls Royce. Literally in a white Rolls Royce, right? So we're like, oh shit. So I'm talking to Mano, and Mano's my man now, too. It's crazy. He don't remember that I interviewed him. You know what I mean? When he see me now, he know me as a rapper.
What was the interview series called? Or the DVD series?
It was called Trap or Die.
Trap or Die.
Trap or Die. I was interviewing Mano, and Puffy comes, and he was good, Mano was good. It was good. Puffy come with his bodyguard, and he walks right in the building. 2 minutes go by, Mano look at me and the cameraman like, yo, that shit's crazy. I'm just talking about this thing. He pull up. 2 minutes later, Puffy send his bodyguard out like, yo, Puff won't talk to you, because I'm sure Puff felt it.
Yeah.
Because now that I look at it, why the fuck was Mano even doing an interview in front of the Atlantic building where Puffy office was at? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, so Puffy probably felt it, sent his bodyguard to come get him. And that was the only time I seen Puff, bro. But it was literally, I couldn't even look at him straight in his face. Like, I had to look at him through my peripherals. Like,
man.
That's how much he was shining that day. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how, even, it doesn't matter how many records I sell. Like, let's say I meet Puffy 3 years later from now, and I'm more bigger than I am, and I'm just on top of the world. I will always be, like, timid. Because that's like my childhood. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Totally. Puff.
I feel like meeting your idols, for us, has always been, like, fine. But I feel like a lot of people have negative experiences about, like, meeting their idols.
Oh, we've always, like, no one, honestly, none of the guys who we, like, look up to have let us down, which is great.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? When I first got into this shit, like, and I started doing shows and my name started getting out there, we had a show in Williamsburg, and it was, like, in 2012, and Sean Price, he was performing before us, right? And we were all packed in, like, the staircase area to go to the stage, and he just finished performing, and he walks out the door, and he wants to walk up the stairs, but there's a whole bunch of us, and then he just abruptly yells out like, yo, I ain't with the rippity rap shit. You gotta move, excuse me, move out my way, excuse me. And I'm looking at this man like, yo, first of all, I knew his name, but I didn't know who the fuck he was at that time. So I'm like, who the fuck is this nigga, yo? Right? So I'm like, so that left a salty taste in my mouth for Sean P, right? Then I got to actually meet him like 3 years later, yo. Like, no, I actually met him in like Summer Jam 2013 and then started meeting him a little bit more. Nice dude. Nice fucking dude. Funny ass motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had the same birthday, March 17. His wife is an amazing person too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When he passed away, I went to a show and she came up to me like, yo, P used to talk about you all the time. He was very fond of you. That shit made me feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Because
he was a legend. You know what I mean? But my first experience with Sean Price was fucking memorable.
Who else did you interview on the DVD series?
BG.
Whoa.
Yeah, I interviewed BG. And when I interviewed BG, Mano was in the studio too.
Man.
And when I interviewed BG, it was the whole time when he was beefing with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And he was, and this is
so the like 2005 or so.
Yeah, 2005 exactly. And he was talking about how Lil Wayne, like, he was like, yo, I don't understand how Lil Wayne's saying he blood now. There ain't no bloods in Magnolia. He's like, I ain't never seen no blood in Magnolia. And he was talking with his, you know what I mean, boy? Like, he was, And then he was talking about, like, yo, like, you know, he was like, you know, I was a little nigga, 15, nigga, like, you know what I'm saying? They used to pay me with dope. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how I used to get paid. Like, mm-hmm. that was around that time. I guess he was, like, that was probably around the time he was trying to make, like, a comeback or whatever it was. Maino was there. I interviewed him. Jim Jones, when he was going through the beef with True Life.
Oh, man.
That shit was crazy.
That whole time was crazy.
Yeah, I was in that shit. I was in the mix. I was 18, 19.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? I was a young
hacking
nigga.
Hacking MySpace pages.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was going in, man. And I remember, I wish I was handy with phones and pictures. I would have took pictures of all that shit. I met Jimmy, and I remember he had the he just bought a new Benz, and it was like I never seen the Benz before. You know what I'm saying? And it had like the infrared when you back up, like, you know how they got every car got the cameras now. He was like the first car I ever seen him with that shit. And it had like the crazy infrared. It was crazy.
That had to be wild for an East Side guy like you, right?
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when I met him, I started off talking to him like an interviewer, and he just stopped me. He was like, yo, listen, man, talk to me like a regular nigga, bro. He's like, yo, don't talk to me like an interviewer, bro. I said, all right, my nigga, you got it. Because I didn't know how to approach him, because before that, like, all I heard was, you know, bad things about him. Like, yo, he's a tough guy. Like, he's a no-nonsense nigga. So I came in there, you know, kind of like, you know, on eggshells. I didn't want to say certain things to piss him off and shit like that, you know what I mean? But then when he... literally the first minute was like, yo, just talk to me regular, bro, like we in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, he was a nice guy too.
Yeah,
he was a nice guy,
great guy.
Yeah.
So you did that for how long, you think?
I only did that shit three times. So I interviewed BG, Maino, and Jim Jones, and I retired. I said, this ain't for me. This ain't for me, man.
You got right to the middle.
Yeah. Fuck that. It's over for this shit. It was a little nice little run, but that was alright.
One time we waited to see Big Crit. We went to the studio, and it was like Engine Room or something down there, right?
Yeah.
And Big Crit was in the studio with, like, who else was there? Kendrick? Or
Kendrick was there. J-Rock was there.
J-Rock, yep. I forget who else. But, like, the studio was packed.
Smoke Dizza.
And we waited there for 5 hours, like, just trying to be, like, so polite and not get in the way of anybody who's, like, doing their job. And we waited until, like, 6 a.m. when the session was over, and, like, Ryan Leslie, like, had a session that started at 6 a.m. or whatever.
And so he was in there, like, he, like, had his laptop out, and he's, like, just playing songs off of there.
But, like, we got, like, we really should have said, like, whatever our business was, we should have just gotten out of the way and, like, went home, like, rather than, like, politely waited in the corner from people, like, just to finish up.
Right.
And we waited there until 6 a.m. They're like, did you want something? We're like, And then we talked about our business. We took like 5 minutes.
Not even.
And then we like left and like, you know, took the train all the way from like Wall Street back up here. And it was just like,
yo, man,
what are we doing? But you learn, you know?
Yeah. Closed mouths don't get fed.
No, it's true. Yeah, man. Now we know better.
Closed mouths stand in the corner for 6 hours.
That's fucking crazy.
Bunch of creeps.
That's fucking crazy. Dope.
So wait, so you just came back from tour. As a father, like, what is that like, you know, having your kid at home? Who's watching the kid? All that.
Well, he's, you know, he lives with his mom's.
So he's not like living on his own.
Nah, not yet. Maybe next year.
Listen,
for his
nature versus nurture, you know? Yeah. Like, just let him find his way.
Yeah. So, yeah, nah, realistically, man, like, I put that shit in the back of my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, when, as far as like my kids and my family, like, because it could be a distraction. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because I don't love them. It's because that when you think about it, how long you on the road, it will affect you the more you think about, like, damn, I can't see my boy right now. I can't see my mom. So I try to put that in the back of my head and just focus on work and shit like that. And, you know, I speak to him as much as I can when I'm on the road. You know what I'm saying? I FaceTime him every day as much as I can. My baby moms will FaceTime me with him. You know what I'm saying? So as long as that's, you know, I can do that, you know what I mean? It's enough for me to, you know, not feel too bad. Like, you know what I mean? Because he's young. He's 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? So... But a lot of times, you know, on the road, you know, I'm not going to say sad, because like I said, I'm always focused on work. But you think about it, because you have downtime. So you're going to be sleeping. Like, damn, I miss my son, man. I miss my boy. I miss my moms and shit like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's me. I love being on the road. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I know that this is how I feed my family. And I know that if I can't be on the road, then I have to look for other ways to get money. You know what I'm saying? And this is this is the major income of how rappers get money, is on the road. You know what I'm saying? So I need to be on the road. You know what I mean?
Otherwise, it's like, how many times can you interview Jim Jones and, BG?
Exactly. It's over for that, man. It's a one time thing. You know what I'm saying? But that deal. So you have to sacrifice certain things, you know what I mean, to move forward, man. And I'm one of those dudes that's willing to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and I see what you're doing with this new project by putting it out on SoundCloud, and it's available to everyone, like, just to stream and live with, and it's not costing them anything. But then they go support you by going to see you live.
Yeah, man. You know, it's important. You know, because I dropped the album last year, and fans, even though they could be diehard fans, man, but some of them be broke. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe the album comes out on the weekend when they're not getting paid, or they don't work. You know what I'm saying? So I like the idea of free. You know what I'm saying? Because as much as I don't give a fuck how big I get, I will do as much free shit as I can. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that message grows farther than pain. You know what I'm saying? Like it will go farther than that. You know what I'm saying? Like once you put a fucking price on something, a lot of people start getting reluctant. Like, I listen to it next week when I get paid. Then next week comes, something else happens. You know what I'm saying? So free 99, man, as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter if I got $5 million in my bank account, man. I try to do as free 99 as much as I can. Mm-hmm. Unless I know that if I drop an album, I'm going platinum,
mm-hmm.
then I'll drop albums.
Yeah, but because you get the plaque then.
Yeah, I get the plaque. Exactly. It won't be all for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
You get a little decoration for your wall.
Yeah, there you go, man.
So how long was the longest period of time you were on the road on this tour?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Yeah. 5 weeks straight.
5 weeks straight. So it was what? 45 days? 46 days?
Who's holding your mail at home? Like, where?
Yo, all I got mail is from IRS, man. They on my ass, man. That's all I got, man. I just literally opened up a letter from the IRS, and if I had never opened up this letter, I would have been fucked.
Yo.
Yeah, man. Like, yo, I'm so bad with that shit, man.
Yo, get an accountant.
Yeah, you're right. Nah, I'm on it. Now yeah, I got an accountant. I know, what's crazy is that, like, a lot of things done changed for me. You know what I'm saying? From last year, I got a lawyer now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's a great lawyer. I'm going to get an accountant. I got a social media manager. You know what I mean? I'm moving up, man.
All that matters, though.
It does, man. It does.
Wait, do you still not have any apps on your phone?
I don't have no apps on my phone.
That's so crazy to me.
I don't have no apps on my phone. I got no apps, no space, man.
What,
yo, my shit.
What do you have on your phone?
Nothing. My shit. Yo, my pictures maxed out on 100 pictures. After 100 pictures in my phone, I can't take no more pictures, yo.
Do you have like a StarTAC or something?
What is that?
The pager?
You remember the StarTAC?
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't got shit.
So you run up to the Genius Bar at the Apple Store and you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah, man. I hate this shit, man. Like the other day, man, like my social media manager, she asked me to download an app. And I couldn't even fucking download it, man. I had to tell Ola to download it on his phone and use it off his phone, man. It's just some bullshit, man. For real, man. I hate this shit, man.
Do you make sure to be, like, when you're FaceTiming with your baby's mother or your son, do you make sure that you're in a Wi-Fi area? Or are you just, like, out there on the road and it's just, like, you're roaming and, like, those charges are going through the roof?
Nah, because every time I go on the road, I make sure I call my T-Mobile, like, listen,
yeah,
I'm going here, such and such. Don't hit me with the charges. I don't want to see the bill, $500, you know what I'm saying? Because one time we went to fucking Canada, and I was using my phone, like nothing. And that shit was like, save $5 when I came back in the States. And I'm like, yo, hold it, what the fuck was going on? So, nah, I don't make those
They'll
mistakes
get
again.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I don't make those mistakes again. I don't know. I had to call the T-Mobile before I go on the road, man.
God damn.
Word. Because you go through a lot of spots on the road where it's, like, no service, yo. Like, I remember one time, like, when we were driving through fucking Arizona, going through New Mexico, going through, like, where Area 51 is, and Utah, and all these places, and Nevada, and all that, like, it'd be so dead, the service, because there's nothing out there. Like, you would literally be driving for, like, 10 hours, and you don't see nothing.
I want to know what happens if, like, God forbid, you run out of gas.
I would,
like,
love that. I would love that, man. That's amazing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready.
You got no service. You can't call, like, a tow truck or anything. Like,
fuck that, man. Yeah. That should turn into a movie, man.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Like,
Bam just starts a new life in Nevada.
Nah, that shit. Yo,
sets up shop.
You know what's crazy? One time we was dropped, like, in November, we was driving through the border, right, where Mexico and United States is. I forgot. I think we were going from New Mexico to Arizona or Arizona to New Mexico, one or the other. But we were going down a path that it was border. Like, this is where Mexicans come in illegally. And technically, tour drivers are not supposed to drive at night. Like, they're supposed to only drive 8 hours during the day every morning.
Right.
And every hour after that is overdrive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had my own tour driver, so we broke the rules, you know what I'm saying? So we driving at night all the time. We was driving at night. So we're driving, yo, and literally it's so fucking dark and spooky. We would look out the window. You would see, like, big fires, like barn fires. Maybe that was, like, signals of, yo, come over here. Shit was crazy, right? We driving, and it's literally, we're driving, like, 50 miles just one way. So there's a car behind us, right? And because there's the border, there's cartel motherfuckers in there too. So the whole time I'm like, yo, close the shades. So we closing the shades. Yo, this man was telling us for like 50 miles, yo. Yeah. I'm like, yo, he wait until we stop. So he won't get the fuck out of here. He gonna run up in his bus. I'm talking to my cousin who was driving. He got no care in the world. Don't worry about that shit. I ain't worried about that shit. I'm like, yo, y'all niggas ain't worried about this shit, bro. These niggas are killers. Like, what is wrong with you niggas? So, yo, luckily, the man was buying our bumper because all he wanted to do was get in front of us. So the whole time he's buying our bumper, I'm thinking he wants to pull over. He just want to get in front of us. You know what I'm saying? So he got in front of us, and I was like, woo! Yo. I was dumb nervous, yo.
The last we heard of Bodega Bams.
Word up. I was, yo,
somewhere
that was
in the Southwest.
Hell yeah, yo. And we ain't had no service on my phone. I ain't had no service. It was pitch fucking dark. Like, it was crazy.
Have you played in Mexico?
Hell yeah.
How is it down there?
Amazing, yo. Amazing.
Do you drink the water down there?
Hell no. I don't even drink the water in Dominican Republic. Yo, the first thing my father told me when I went to Mexico, do not drink the water.
Right.
Like, you already know when you know what I'm saying, when you go to those countries like that, like, do not drink the water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We already know not, but I ain't drink the water, but I ate some tacos with a man, and his hands were so dirty, his fingernails were so dirty, but the tacos were so good. I ain't fuck. Like, I'm looking at this man's hand make my tacos, right? And I'm like, man, this nigga's shit is, I need this hand sanitizer. This man's shit is dirty. So then I eat the taco, bro, because I was like, at that point, I was like, I don't give a fuck. And that shit was so amazing, man. Like, I always remember that. I don't remember his face. I just remember his dirty ass hands.
Okay, let me ask you a real question right now. This may be the realest question ever. Did you go to Chipotle? Like, were you a regular there before they had their, like,
E. coli scare?
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Yo, number one, I hate Chipotle.
Okay.
I hate it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when Chipotle first came out, I was with my brother and my man, Yufis, there I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. We went to go eat Chipotle in like 14th Street somewhere. I forgot what it was. And I'm like, yeah, Chipotle, man. That's the new wave. Let's go, man. Ah! Yo, I eat Chipotle, man. Yo, I've never got food poisoning in my life. And that was the only time I got food poisoning eating Chipotle.
You got it before it was cool.
Before it was cool, bro. I'm talking about, this is like 7 years ago, man. Like, yo, I that shit was so bad, yo. Like 7 days, man. I was fucked up, yo. Like
seven days?
7 days I had Chipotle. I mean, 7 days I had like damn near food poisoning. Yo, I lost mad weight.
Never again.
I eat it now, you know what I'm saying? But took me a long time to eat Chipotle again.
But here's my question. Yeah, like, after that whole E. coli scare, like, I haven't been back. I haven't dared go back.
I didn't even know
back.
That. You see, I didn't even know they had the E. coli scare.
Oh, huge.
That's
crazy. Like, in, like, seven states or something.
Yeah,
including
like
New York.
Year.
Yeah.
That's sad. Nah. People died?
I don't think so.
I don't know. People got real sick.
That's crazy.
Maybe they did.
They died, yeah. Shit. But whatever it was, I was just like, I'm not going back. And they took such a hit business-wise.
Yeah, that they had to shut down every single store in, like, all, like, seven states, maybe nationwide.
To retrain their whole staff.
About, like washing your hands
and they might have given away,
services.
Like, free food, too, I think, right? Like,
holy
to sort of make it better.
Shit,
but
man.
I haven't been back.
By the way, when I got salmonella from a taco truck...
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't shut down the place and, you know, teach everybody how to wash their hands there, but they should have.
But the health department does, like... track you down and
but there's
ask
no way to
up.
Okay, so the thing about salmonella, the thing about any food poisoning is that you can't really tell exactly where it came from, especially in New York City. Mm-hmm. And so they say, like, oh, well, where did you eat in the 24 hours before you got sick? And it's like, well, I went to a fancy restaurant and they could have not washed the fruit correctly,
right.
Or I
could
went to a
any.
Taco truck and they're like, oh, well, maybe the taco truck that might have been what caused you to almost die.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That hit you hard, though.
No, like, I went in, like, 4 days after, and they were like, I went to the hospital, and they were just like, how are you still alive?
What?
Yeah, they were like, you've had this for 4 days? I'm like, yeah, like, I'm a G when it comes to this shit.
Yo, food poisoning is no joke, though. But you're here.
I'm here.
You're upright.
I'm
you're
strong.
Yeah.
Dipset, bitch.
Yeah, you can't kill me.
Do you have your spots on the road, like, or are you just, like, a sort of, I know where I'm going to go because it's a chain?
Do I have my spots on the road?
Like you've been around enough, like, you're like, oh, okay, if I'm going
to,
like...
Yeah, is it only, like, chain restaurants, or are you just, like, okay...
Once I'm in L.A., I know where I'm, like...
Yeah, definitely. When I was in L.A., I was going hard in Bossa Nova, man. Y'all ever in Bossa Nova?
No. Mm-hmm.
Shoo!
What is that?
It's a Brazilian spot. It's on Sunset.
Yeah. Wait, no, we have been there.
Oh, have we?
Yeah we have. Okay. Yes, have been there.
Yeah. Brazilian spot, amazing. Fire. Like, food portions are huge.
Yep.
Oh, I was hitting that bitch up. I spent like at least $700 in there when I was in LA, man. Buying everybody bussing over. And then I'm talking to my LA motherfuckers, and I'm talking to my New York people who moved to LA. They're like, yo, that shit is trash, yo. Bossa Nova's whack. You go to Bossa Nova, that shit whack, yo. Like, we was FaceTiming other rappers and they were like, yo, you in Bossa Nova? I'm like, yeah, I'm in Bossa Nova. That shit is fire though, Bossa Nova in LA. The dude who handles my merch, good friend of mine's in amazing talent. He's from LA. He's Mexican. So when we was on the road, we were literally stopping like in the middle of nowhere when we seen like Mexican spots. You know what I'm saying? So like, I remember we was driving somewhere and there was a Mexican taco stand in a dirt road right by a gasoline station, like with nobody around. We was like, yo, let's stop there, eat there, man. Went over there, ate there. That shit was fire. Yeah. Like, that's what I be doing. I just be hitting up the most ideal spots of a where a homicide would happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Just where a kidnapping is going to happen. Let me just go in there, eat something. Yeah, yeah. Word up.
What's the city outside of New York and LA that fucks with you the hardest? That we might be surprised at?
Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona. New Mexico.
Is that because of like the Latin population or just because?
Yeah. I think it's because of, I think wherever there's a huge population of Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado's crazy. Yeah, Colorado's crazy. Seattle, crazy.
See, that one I'm surprised by.
Oh, Seattle, though, they got a crazy hip hop scene. Them kids go crazy for hip hop.
Did you see Josh Dick when you were in?
I did. He came to my show.
Nice.
Shout out to Josh.
Yeah.
Shout out to. He came to my show. He was surprised how many people was fucking with me. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
He was surprised? He used to be your tour agent.
I know, yeah.
He's a weird man, that guy. Man. He's oddly tall and weird, man. But yo, you know what's crazy? At the Seattle show, yo, it was an amazing show. So at the Seattle show, we killing it. Me and Ola, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, we feeling ourselves. Yeah, yeah, right? Somebody runs. So right, literally, the last song, I'm about to do my record, Don Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes like, yo, so something's going on outside. I'm like, all right, man, not that, no worry. So I perform my shit. When I perform my shit, my cousin comes to me again. Yo, they trapped. Nigga said, yo, they crashed our. Nigga said they crashed our tour bus, yo. I said, what? Who crashed our tour bus? Went outside, yo. The fucking, yo, my tour. All right, so the side mirror was hanging off. The driver's side window was completely shattered.
Jesus.
Scratched up everything.
Was it an ex?
Huh?
Was it your ex?
Nah, listen. So, Pete, right? So. It was a sprinter. It was a black sprinter that hit it. I don't know what the fuck they were. Literally, they had so much space. The fact that they hit it was. We was trying to figure out, like, how the fuck. How did you hit it? You know what I'm saying? Come to find out. I don't know if you ever heard of an artist. His name is Puya.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was. He's from Miami.
Okay.
He has a big following. We was on tour with him, and this was the second day of tour. So we just met him, like, hey, what's up? How you doing? We kept it moving.
Yeah.
His driver crashed into my RV. So I came outside. Booyah's out there. He's dumb scared. You know what I'm saying? Because he's looking at me like, this man's going to kill me.
Right.
His brother's more of a G. You know what I'm saying? Like, his brother named Andrew. Cool nigga too. His brother out there like, yo, Ben, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, yo, who the fuck crashed my shit, yo? So I'm hot, right? I'm tight. Yeah. And then I started looking around. I'm like, man, you know, these... They little kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be like a bully, so I started asking him, like, is everybody alright though, man? Y'all good, man? Everybody safe, man? Because I feel kind of bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then literally because of that, yo, we literally became best friends. They were on my tour bus all the time.
It took them crashing into
like, it was almost like that was the icebreaker, like because after that was just weird. Before that was weird, like, hey, what's up, how you doing, man? You pull your own Bodega Bands. They crashed into my shit and we just became best of buds.
That's awesome.
Everybody.
That's awesome. I mean, anybody clip, coming, you know, listening to this podcast, wants to be friends with Bams, just wreck his shit.
Yeah, wreck my shit. Yeah, we had to pay, yo, that shit, but it was an arm and a leg, though. We didn't have our shit for like a week. We had to drop off the RV in Washington to get it fixed because we were trying to go directly to the RV place that it was the brand of the RV. Like, we didn't want to go to any RV place. We wanted to go where it was actually manufactured at.
Right.
So we went to Washington. We had to stay there for like 4 or 5 days. That shit was crazy.
Did you have to cancel any shows?
We almost did. You know what I'm saying? But them kids, they pay for everything. You know what I mean? Thankful for them. Like, I mean, it was their fault, so they had to pay, but.
Yeah.
They came out of pocket. It was about probably like $5,000 they had of damages. Damn. They fucked my shit up.
Yeah.
That was tight. And they fucked their shit up too.
Did you get to perform Don Francisco at the end of the show though?
Oh yeah, I did. Okay. But imagine, like, that was literally like the first show, because the two other shows we had before that was cool, but Seattle was when we was like, oh, this shit turned. It's about to be rolling. And then boom, right after I finished performing in Seattle, my shit is crashed. Oh. Josh was there, Juice from Flatbush Zombies was there. Yeah. Like, dude was like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on? I just came outside and shit, like, yo, that shit was a mess, man.
So we went to the Flatbush show, the last show of their tour at Webster.
Yeah.
The other night, and that place was jumping.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd yelling for Flatbush was just insane. Yeah, insane.
Dope, man.
Like, we didn't know what to expect, and the place was just like,
yeah,
bonkers.
Yeah, man, they got good support, man. Shout
totally,
to
yeah. totally.
And then I left there and tried to get into the Irving Plaza show, and that was not happening because
that was the same night, right?
Yeah. Same night.
Oh shit!
And the craziest thing is that like stupid journalists out there were just like posting, you know, headlines saying like, gunshots at the Flatbush Zombies show, and it was just like, nope. Wrong.
Oh, wrong.
Not the case.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see
not that. All rap shows are the same rap show.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have a show today, and the shit got canceled because of that whole mess that happened in Irving Plaza.
How did they reach out to you and tell you?
They told the police told the promoter, like, yo, we advise you not to do this show today.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, they fucked. A lot of shit got fucked up. Like, yeah. A lot of artists are canceling their shows in New York because of this shit.
Yeah.
It's just nasty out here.
YG got his shit canceled.
Yeah, Mac Miller.
Yep. Joey Badass. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We had a show today. It was called the Brooklyn and Queens Festival. It was going to be me, right. 12E, the Manola Rose Kid.
Yep.
That shit got canceled, man. Fuck my paper up.
Yeah, that's fucked up. So it really is, as far as you know, the cops tell the promoter.
Yeah.
But then also, like, okay, so Live Nation canceled all of their shows, and they said that it was because of the cops. The cops said that it wasn't because of them.
Right.
So, like, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about this, by the way. The last time you were on the podcast, you talked about you were owed how much money? $500, $600? From Vice for that Santos performance.
Shit,
have
man.
You been paid that,
hell
that money?
Hell no, man. Noise always on their bullshit, man. So, word, man. I went out to L.A., man, and I tried to be cool with them. I put their fake-ass Vice tattoo on my head. They had a
right.
They had the promotional tattoos, and it said Viceland. I put it on my forehead. I tried to be cool with them guys, man.
Yo,
they,
by the way,
like me.
So I watched a video with the tattoo, I guess, and I thought that it was like an actual tattoo, and I was like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I was just trying it out because I want to get a face tattoo, but at the same time, I look mad pretty. You know, I'm a good-looking motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to mess that up, man. You know what I'm saying?
But for those people who can't, like, see you, obviously, right now, you got your hair cut.
Oh, yeah, I got my hair cut. I got my hair in curls. You know what I'm saying? My beard is very, it's very precise. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, right for the summer.
Oh, yeah. Got to get the tan as soon as I walk out. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, so you want to get a face tattoo?
I want to, yeah, but that's why I got the fake face tattoo.
Yeah, but
I want to
theoretically,
see
where would you get that?
I would get it, like probably like around here, like
okay,
right
so
here.
Above your eyebrow,
above my eyebrow, yeah.
Like Rick Ross, by the way, has been getting like steadily like more and more like around like the temple, like in between, like everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like you know.
But the thing is that like he's a darker brother,
he is,
so
he
it's,
is.
When you light skin, it really stands out. A tattoo stands, especially on your face. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah, you could get like a parrot that's like real colorful.
That'd be fire.
What, yeah. What does your mom say about that?
Oh, hell no, she ain't with it.
When she listens to this podcast and she hears that you say that, what's she gonna say?
Nathaniel, what? No, what are you doing? You have a son. Yeah, she wild. You want your son to look at you like that? Yeah.
You cannot come to Thanksgiving with that.
Hell no. Hell no.
You do have the new. You have a new tattoo on your arm of Yams.
Yeah. I went to so I got it at the DMX show. There was a dude there who's a tattoo artist. He's from Anaheim. And
did you know him previously?
I didn't know him, and he ran up on me like, "Yo, I'm a fan. I got a tattoo spot. You know, come by." And I was mad drunk and hot, so I was like, "Yeah, man, just give me my number, man." And then he hit me the next day, and then I realized who he was, and I went on his Instagram. I'm like, "Ah, this guy's good." And then I'm like, "I didn't want to get the Yams tattoo, so I wanted to get Bowser from Mario Kart." I want to get Bowser on.
How did you confuse the two?
But Pete, this is what happened. So, because I wasn't even thinking about getting Yams. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I wasn't. Getting Yams tattoo never crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, not because I was against it. It was because, like, you know, he's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know a whole bunch of people that have passed away. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, so, and I never got their names or their faces or anything like that. So I wasn't. When I think about tattoos, I wasn't thinking like get Yams or anything about Yams. So then the dude was like, "Yo, you know what, bro? I would love to do a Yams piece on you, man." So at first I was kind of reluctant because I didn't know if he was that good to do a Yams piece. You know what I'm saying? So
that's a huge question, by
the
way.
Yeah, so and this is the first time I'm meeting him and he's doing it for free. So I'm like, So then he kept on talking to me into like, "Come on, bro, this should be good, this and that." And I was like, "You know what, man? I'm gonna do it because this is how I can honor my friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, this will be one of the ways I can honor my friend, really honor my friend." So I went in and got it, and he did a good job, man. We gotta finish the bottom though. He gonna put some shit down here and shit like that. I haven't seen his mom's yet to show her the tattoo, but we spoke on the phone. She seen pictures. She was wilding.
Well, but you said in your
I saw it like on Facebook. You were like, his mother was gonna be like disappointed.
Yeah, she told me in Spanish like, I'm gonna get the iron. The burn, cause that's some Latino shit. Like when you growing up, the mother used to burn you with the iron when you bad and shit like that. She was like, she said it in Spanish and shit. Yeah. But yeah, I haven't seen she hasn't physically seen it. You know what I'm saying? But she's seen it in the pictures and shit like that.
How's she doing?
She's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good, man. She's good. His anniversary was a few months ago. Mm-hmm. It was deaf. I was out of town.
Gotcha.
But actual Yem's Day, like you actually, performed.
Yeah, I performed. Yeah, yeah. I was there. She's the one who got me on that shit.
Really?
She wanted me on there. Cause when that list came out, the names that I seen, I'm like, yo, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna reach out to nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't need a show to validate my relationship with that man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I was stressing in the fact that I seen other names that I knew they weren't as tight with Yams how I was.
Right.
But I wasn't gonna make a fuss about it. You know what I'm saying? Cause like I said, I don't need that to validate. You know what I'm saying? But she was the one who was like, she told me, she was like, yo, I told him, where's Bodega Bams?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, no, we going to reach out? She was like, no, he has to be there because he was with me the whole year. Mm-hmm. He's been reaching out. He's been there for me. Him and his brother, they good to me. So she really pushed for it to me to put on that shit. I don't know if she didn't push me, I don't know if I would have been on that shit. Who knows?
That's crazy.
She picked the artist that was on there. She did. She handpicked every artist that was there had to go through Tati. Every artist. I don't know if the kid, the Uber kid, what's his name?
Made in Tayo.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his name?
Made in Tayo?
Made in Tayo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made in Uber Tayo. Everywhere.
Yeah. I thought it was like Made in Tokyo.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyways, yeah. I don't think she picked him.
Okay.
I'm saying, but he was there, though. You know, I'm shot to him. But everybody else that was there, that performed, besides like French Montana, you know, the names that y'all know from New York, mm-hmm, like she gave the okay. Like, yeah, they got to do it.
That's dope.
Yeah. She put that whole shit together, yo. You know, she had help, but she was behind. She really was. She had a hand in that whole shit. That whole Yams Day.
See, that's when New York is at its best in terms of, like, you know, shows. Like, that just felt like, obviously the door was an issue, but and I think you're gonna run into that like whenever. But I think that the love that night and the authenticity of everyone's like feelings, really, really shined that night.
Yeah, it was a good night, man. Especially for him. I mean, that was a good night.
Yeah, I saw that Capital Steez Day is now going to be in LA, which and that even happened before this whole like Triav thing, but or whatever. I don't even know how to classify.
Right.
How do we call that? But but yeah, it's going to be in LA now.
So, really?
Yeah.
Well, good timing.
Yeah.
Because if they would have had it in New York, they probably would have shut it down too.
Yeah.
Cops. Cause that's going to be a big show.
Yeah. Where can you even perform now?
You definitely can't perform in no festivals out here and outside. They shutting shit down, man. The shit that happened has never happened before in hip hop. Ever. Like, you've never heard about a shooting inside of a venue. You heard about shooting outside.
Well, except for Fat Trell at SOB's, a few years ago. But, like,
that's but nobody died, though.
Nobody died.
No, you're
right.
Nobody
died. No one died. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody died. That man died.
That's crazy that they shut this Brooklyn Queens thing down.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer.
They shut it down. I mean, you know, most importantly for the fans, you know what I'm saying, not being able to go, but I didn't get paid either. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
that shit fucking, that's, you know what I mean? People don't realize what they do. Like, I'm sure he didn't realize what was going to happen, the aftermath, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that's how just the cookie crumbled, man. Like, this shit is affecting everybody now.
It's wild.
You know what I mean?
It's wild.
So you've been working with Hudson Mohawk a bunch.
Yeah.
Like,
shout to him.
How did that come together?
He hit us up on Twitter, I think it was.
See, this is what we're learning. Whether it's Facebook or Twitter, however that you can get in touch with Bams.
Yeah, he hit us up, man. He hit us up. He was a fan. Like, yo, I fuck with your shit. Got these records.
Are you open-minded when it comes to different guys reaching out like that? Like,
Mohawk is one of my favorite producers.
Okay.
So I knew who he was before he even reached out. So when he did reach out to me, I was like, all right, hell yeah, let's do it. Because I knew, like, me and him, a combination, we're just so different, but we can create something so fire. So I was open to that. Like, I was. So when he reached out and shit like that.
Are you open to the idea of doing a project just with him?
Yeah, so what happened was, when that was the whole basis of us working, we were going to do a project together. So he was sending me a whole bunch of beats. And then he's going through some issues with his label and shit like that. And that's one of the things he told me, like, Because I released the song on my own, because it was literally just sitting around. So I'm like, yo, Hub Mo, I'm going to release this shit, bro. Then he was like, yeah, man, I would have been released it before, yo, but this label shit, man, they not letting me do shit. So I'm like, I don't worry about it. So that's what I just took it upon myself to release it. Hmm. So I guess he can't get blamed for it because he'd be like, yo, that's the artist. He released it.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, shout out to Hudson Mohawk, man. I hope he sent me some more batches, you know what I'm saying? And I need to work with him, though, in the studio. Like, I need to sit right with him. Because I only met him one time. He had a show in at Webster Hall, mm-hmm. I think last year. Or a year and a half ago, like he had like a little tour going on, and he brought me out, he brought Travis Scott out, and that was the only time I met him. Nice guy.
Yeah. Nice so, guy. Do you record in L.A. too?
I recorded in L.A. Yeah, when I was in L.A., I recorded in some spot where the eardrummers be at. I got some heat with the eardrummers.
Really?
Really? Off the eardrummers. Yeah, some crazy shit, man.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's different for you.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. But I freaked that shit crazy, like. I could do anything, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what's crazy, man? Uptown Funk, right?
Yes.
When that shit was going crazy, bubbling off the world, whatever, nigga, Mark Ronson reached out to me. Shout out to Mark Ronson. Nigga reached out to me and said, yo, Benz, I want you on the official remix. Sent the email out. Said, yo, Benz, I want you on the... It ain't even start like that. Scratch that. I got an email. Yo, Mark Ronson want to know what's up. I want to build. Mark Ronson hit me up like, yo, I got a record for you. I want you to do blah, blah, and that. When I see Mark Ronson, same thing like Hudson Mohawk, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you send me, nigga. Like, it's Mark Ronson. Like, let's do it. Come to find out, when I load up the beat, it's Uptown Funk. So I'm like, yo, hold up. This is, yeah. I'm like, all right. So I hit him back, and then he went further in the email like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Do the remix. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get Action Bronson. I don't know why they got Action Bronson.
He's not from Uptown.
I'm from Uptown. Yeah. But that's one of the things that Mark Ronson said. He was like, yo, like what you doing and your sound from Uptown is so fire. Like, he didn't say fire, but he said, he was just bigging me up.
Whatever
was,
the British version of
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So he's like, yo, like, you one of my favorites. You're one of my favorites. So I'm like, damn, it's Mark Ronson. And what he don't know is that 14, 15 years ago, I used to go to the Hamptons as a young nigga, driving out there, going into clubs. When Scott Disick, before he was fucking with the Kardashians, he used to bring me in the clubs out
what?
There.
What?
Yeah. I used to stay in Mark Ronson's summer house when I was out there in the Hamptons.
Crazy. Did he know?
He didn't know, because I never got to meet the nigga. I was just speaking to him through email and DM. So I never got to physically meet him. But when I physically meet him, I'm going to tell him. Like, yo, because he used to fuck with my man's name, Birdie, back in the day. Like, I'm talking about like 13 years ago. And Birdie's from the east side. Mm-hmm. And I guess he used to be like, you know, Birdie used to do promotion. He used to do parties and shit like that. So I guess, you know, he used to fuck with Mark Ronson when he was on his DJ shit hard. And we used to go to the Hamptons. I was like 18 years old. I used to drive because none of these motherfuckers had licenses. So I was the only kid with a license. So I used to drive out there.
Wait, you had a car in the city?
Yeah. No, I had a license. I my car was already gone. It was trash. You know what I'm saying? Because I got into a car accident. But that's a different...
Damn.
Yeah. But none of my friends... Like, I used to drive nigga John Shipes to the Hamptons.
Crazy.
What?
Yeah, I used to drive John Shipes because he ain't got John. If y'all know John, John don't drive. You know what I'm saying? So John don't have no nothing. So John need
like a boss move. Like, yeah. He gets driven. Yeah.
So John had an artist at the time, which was his girlfriend, I believe. Her name was Nikki Jean or some shit like that. It was a girl.
Oh yeah.
So I used to drive her to the Hamptons when she used to have shows, and then I used to go to Hamptons on my own too. Cause I was cool with my man Buried. I'm talking about he used to fuck with Mark Ronson, and I remember that. John knew Scott, the Kardashian Scott. He knew Scott before.
What was Scott doing?
Scott was cool with another guy named Tom. His name was Tom Mall, and Tom Mall was John's roommate.
Boy, yo.
Yeah, bro. So nigga, Scott, cool ass motherfucker. So I met Scott when I was like 18 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I remember going to Hamptons, and it was a club out there, right? And we pull up, you know what I'm saying? We parking up, and then the bouncer, he's like, yo, you can't come in, yo, you too young. So I remember Scott coming out of nowhere like he was Batman. Coming out, you know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, I wasn't Bodega Bams, I was Nate Bams.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, Nate, he was like, yo, Bams, what's going on? I said, yo, Scott, he didn't let me in, yo. He's like, yo, Bams, he's good, he coming in. Went right in, yo. As soon as I walked in, he's walking in with me. He got his arm around me. Come on, man. This is my town. Come on, man. I'm walking in there. He takes a champagne bottle from a table. Yo, hey, man, take the champagne bottle. Drink, man. I'm drinking. I'm seeing motherfuckers, white people doing coke. This is the first time I'm seeing as an 18-year-old kid. I'm saying, like, I'm from the hood. Like,
right, yeah.
I'm seeing superstars, actors doing lines of coke in front of me. I'm seeing Manny Moore play pool right next to me. Shit was crazy.
Wait, by the way, the thing I keep forgetting about is that you were sleeping in Mark Ronson's house.
Like, so now let's get back to that.
Well, like,
so
every element Mandy of this story, Mandy Moore.
So like I said, so you know, the Hamptons is about 3.5 hours away from Manhattan. It was way deep in Long Island.
Yeah.
So we was used to be shit faced and shit like that. And I remember when we went to Birdie brought me to Mark Ronson's summer home in the Hamptons. He had a full bar. And this is before I was drinking Henny. I was drinking vodka. Got shit-faced more in his crib, drinking. He wasn't there, though. Just drinking. This is the first time I ever passed out drinking liquor. I passed out in the car. So make a long story short, when Mark Ronson reached out to me, back to that story, I'm like, yo, like, he don't even know how much history is here. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
So I loaded up the beat. Back to the beat. I loaded up his Uptown Funk. So I'm like, oh, this is crazy. So he's like, yo, listen, I'm going to Hot 97 tomorrow, and I'm going to premiere this shit on Hot 97, the official remix on Hot 97 with You in Action. I'm like, I bet. Send my verse in literally like 2 hours later. He went to Hot 97, and he only played Action Bronson shit. But he announced, like, yo, but the official remix is going to be with Bams. So then you had MTV, everybody tweeting, like, yo, the official remix of Uptown Funk, it's going to be Action Bronson and Bams. But there was never, he never made it available for stream or link. He just played it on Hot 97. So they literally, whoever blogged it just probably got it from Hot 97 and just, I don't know, converted, whatever the fuck they did. So come to find out, the shit never came in, it never came into play. And I don't know why it never came into play. So I asked the nigga, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, thanks for the opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Even though you didn't play it.
Right.
And he explained to me, like, yo, like, you know, He said something about, like, the mixing took too long and I had to be in Hot 97 at 6 in the morning, so I didn't get to play it. But my verse was crazy. And I say that to say this, because the first time ever I ever seen the Grammys, right? Because I don't like watching the Grammys unless I'm there.
Yeah,
that's how I look
right,
at shit.
Yeah.
So I said, man, fuck it, let me watch the Grammys. I'm in my mom's crib. I'm with my son watching the Grammys and shit. And the song of the year is Uptown Funk. And I'm sitting there, yo, and I'm looking at this shit. And I'm explaining the same way I explained to y'all, I'm explaining to my mom. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, ma, damn, people, nobody in this fucking place know that that man who's accepting that award right there, he reached out to Little Old Bodega Bams to do the official remix, even though it ain't go through. But the fact that that man reached out to me was enough. I'm looking at this shit like, yo, I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be at the Grammys one day, because those type of things don't discourage me. It just makes me feel like, yo, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That man did as it didn't work out, but he reached out to me and he's accepting the award. He's right next to Bruno Mars. He's accepting the award for a song that he wanted me to remix on. That shit was crazy.
That's the greatest.
Our friend Ashley believes that there's two types of people in this world.
Right.
Trash or garbage. The question is, what are you? It's actually trash or garbage.
Yeah.
Trash or garbage. I would say trash.
Yeah, yeah. We're trash.
I would say trash.
Yeah, I would say trash. You know?
Because garbage just, when you think about garbage, it just, you think about smelly things. You're talking about something, like, it's something that stinks. Yeah, like, because, you know, yeah, exactly. It's already in the bag. It's bagged up. Like, trash is like, yo, because, like, you know the saying, like, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Like, I could just throw a piece of trash on the floor. That could be a winning number, lottery number. I'm saying, so I'd rather be trash, man. Trash. Once you garbage, you're bagged up.
Yeah.
Yo, fuck garbage.
I know, trash.
And then, you know, fucking garbage gets in, what's this shit called? When they put it in the truck and compressed and all that shit. Yeah. Then the garbage juice comes out, man. And then summertime, and I can't be garbage.
You know where there's no garbage juice? In L.A.
There ain't no garbage
juice
in L.A. They don't know about that. You guys have all turned
on, like, New York. It's terrible.
Yo, man, thanks so much.
Thanks, brothers.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Jeff, if people want to find more episodes just like this, where can they go?
You can find us on SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time. Also on iTunes, A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If you look for A Waste of Time with It's the Real, you can find us on Stitcher and Google Play. We are also at It's the Real on Twitter. We are at It's the Real on Instagram. We are at It's the Real and It's the Real Eric on Snapchat. We're coming to full screen, as we said at the top of the episode.
Go get that app. As always, you can leave a comment and rate and review us on iTunes, on SoundCloud, wherever. Make sure it's a nice review. I mean, don't leave us a bad review. Say something nice. Rate us 5 stars. Just do that for us. Please, go tell a friend about A Waste of Time and It's the Real. Jeff, who do you want to tell?
I want to tell 2 friends. I want to tell Raven Verona and Deani Scott,
who are two of the hardworking women out in New York. They are also incredibly good looking, and I feel like they have the best comment sections on Instagram. Just thirsty, 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 thirsty dudes. So if you can just let them know in their comments to please listen. Who do you want to tell?
I would like to tell someone who came into town this weekend. Unfortunately, we weren't able to link up and say what's up. Justin O'Ryan, who is a loyal, longtime listener of the podcast. Appreciate him hitting us up. Hope he had a nice time in New York despite the weather. Justin, go tell all your friends about A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Until next week, I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
And we'll see you next time.